I should have come from the other side, and you would have thought it was me playing the organ this morning. Aha. May the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
It is good to gather this morning on this cold day. We are grateful that we can look forward to having coffee hour together in Brink Hall down the long hall through these doors. You are all welcome. Whether this is your first time or whether you are always here, you are welcome. And when you go into Brink Hall, you are welcome to take one of the stars that has graced the sanctuary during Advent and Christmas and Epiphany. They still contain the prayers that we wrote on them, but it is Lent, and they need to find a new home. And maybe you would like to have one or two. They are still on the filament so that you can hang them in a window or give them to those whom you love. They are in Brink Hall. You'll see that there are a lot of plans for our young people, for our frogs and our junior and senior highs. Adults, you have all taken vows to raise all these children, whether they live in your house or not. And so you are all parents of the many children who come to youth group and work with Kate and Eric every week. And we would love to have a couple of parent volunteers, adult volunteers, to help care for our kids. We divide them up for serious discussion. Discussion about dating with junior high kids is one thing, and discussion about relationships with senior highs is another thing. And sometimes we would like to have the kids separate for their conversations. We'd like you to help take care of the group that is not having the conversation. Kate and Eric plan all of the activities, and you just need to sign up on a list, and they will gladly help you to lead while they're having conversation. Please, we want a bunch of you to sign up. It helps tremendously to plan ahead. We have an opportunity to study the book of Job, a wonderful book in the Bible, with Heather Kramer. She starts this Wednesday. We're not planning on any snowstorms this Wednesday, so we'll begin again this coming Wednesday. Sign up on the bulletin board. Your books are available in the mail room. See that notice. There will also be opportunities to walk the labyrinth with Pam Walsh. And the adult youth group is getting together on March 26th. This is for singles as well as for married. So everybody 20, 30, and 40 has an opportunity to hang out on Wednesday the 26th. See that notice. You'll also see that we can sign up for yoga. There are a bunch of ways in which we live our lives together. Finding mindful movement in yoga is a wonderful help. Sign up for yoga lessons on Wednesday evenings. We're also collecting Easter bag items for youngsters who come through the emergency food pantry system at the Sikkim Food Pantry. See that notice. You might want to help bring in small games, some bubbles, some sidewalk chalk. The baskets are both in the back there and outside the main office. See that notice under Mission of the Month, collecting items for Easter bags. Lots to do, lots to learn, many places to be. But we gather as Christ's people in this place on the first day of the week. We are grateful to live as the light of the world and lighting the Christ candle this morning. Are Karen and Mike and Simon and Lucy, who greeted you on the way into worship, the Trbovich family. Thank you. Oh, boy, I hope nobody forgets that on Saturday is a spaghetti dinner. Amanda, did I almost forget?
No, you didn't.
That was perfect. Perfectly planned.
Here you go, Kristen. I made it myself.
Oh, how beautiful you should have. Amanda, what's this for?
Well, I just thought you needed an appropriate gift for the fact that it's Fowler's Spaghetti Supper and Cake Auction's 25th anniversary.
Oh, yes. 25 years, our silver jubilee.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's right.
Nice.
So here we are, less than 1 week before the dinner.
Yes, and I was checking out our sign-up sheets in Brink Hall on the rollable bulletin board. We're actually looking pretty good, but there are some spaces that we still need to fill in, so check that out today.
That is wonderful. I'm sure we can find a job for you if you haven't signed up yet.
Oh, yes, and we can never have too much help, and we can never have too many cakes.
Mm-hmm. And the biggest way you can all help is by coming to the dinner itself, bringing your friends and your family, bidding on those cakes. So don't forget that it's this Saturday, March 22nd, from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock.
And we are selling tickets at the door, but it's always helpful if you buy your tickets ahead of time, and we'll be selling them again today in Brink Hall. So check out the table.
See you Saturday.
Thank you. Thanks for the hat.
You're welcome. Saturday, the Fowler dinner. Don't you forget. Let us worship God. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Turn to the morning psalm. For God alone, my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall never be shaken. Trust in God at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. For God alone my soul waits in silence, for my hope is from him. God alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my deliverance and my honor. My mighty rock, my refuge is in God.
Thank you.
May the peace of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God and the firstborn of all creation, be with you. Amen. You may be seated. The psalmist wrote, "My soul in silence waits for God." And so we prepare ourselves to confess our sins to a God who hears us. Sometimes that becomes just an internal thing. We go inside ourselves. But sometimes it helps to do something physical. As we prepare to confess our sins. And so we shake out, you do with me, we shake out those things that we need to get rid of, those sins that we need to confess, those places where we messed up. I want to shake those things out, and I know you do too. So we shake out our sins, that we might prepare to receive the Holy Spirit, which helps us to begin again. Extend your arms that you might receive the Holy Spirit. It is not just an intellectual exercise which we do. Sometimes it needs to be a physical getting rid of the sins and receiving again God's grace. Our prayer of confession, while we pray it individually, is always a prayer of all God's people. People not only in this building, in this room, but also God's people in God's world. We use the words this morning of a great preacher of the 40s and 50s, a preacher in New York City, Harry Emerson Fosdick, whose prayer we use as our own this morning. Let us pray together that we might receive God's grace. Eternal Spirit, into the calm of your presence, we bring our restless lives. Silence the too great noise of our living. Quiet the turmoil of our stormy spirits. Let quietness and responsiveness open our doors to you. Speak to our consciences, we pray. May a new word from you today stop someone here from traveling a wrong road. Show us the folly of our excuses and evasions. And grant us an hour of honest dealing with ourselves and with you. From our ill tempers, our unkind moods, our hasty words, and our cherished vindictiveness, good Lord, deliver us. In the quiet of this hour, may we be born anew into a better mind and a more worthy life. Amen. At the end of Jesus' life, he said these words, "I've said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. May Christ's peace be with you. This is good news that Christ gives his peace not as the world gives, but as Christ gives. Then hear how we are called to live. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen and slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, who deceive yourselves. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained before the world. May God give you courage to live as God has called us to live. We respond to God's goodness by bringing our morning's tithes and our offerings.
Thank you.
us pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Throughout these 40 days, help us to walk your way that we may know new life. All in heaven and on the earth is yours, and of your own we give you. Amen. We turn to God's holy word as it comes to us from the gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe in him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now will the children join me at the front? Good morning. This morning, after you leave for your time of learning, the taller, older people are going to stay with me, and we are going to preach and listen and speak about silence. I wonder if you know how to be silent. One of the ways we can first become silent is by making a lot of noise. And in a second, we're going to make a lot of noise. And then when Pastor Jan goes like this, we're going to be silent. Do you think we can do that? Okay. Okay, Simon. When I raise my hands like this, we will be quiet. But right now, let's all have a holy hubbub. Yay, Sierra! Woo! sometimes when we are very quiet, some of us get uncomfortable. What are we supposed to do now? Or we just can't stand it, and we have to make noise. Actually, I'm talking to the taller, older people right now. Because you know how to be silent, don't you? In children and worship, Miss Joanna might say, "You can be quiet because I say shh." But you know how to quiet yourself from inside. We walk more slowly because we have all the time that we need. And we speak more softly so we don't interrupt someone who might be listening for God. Sometimes it helps to quiet ourselves by singing. I wonder if you can sing, "Be Still and Know That I Am God." Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. When we sing those words, we know that it's time to listen to God. And you've listened very well. Let us give thanks. We praise you, O God, for children who listen for you, who wonder about your world. May we learn well from them. Will you bless them and keep them safe and happy and healthy? In your name we pray. Amen. Let us sing together.
Thank you.
2 weeks ago, was it only 2 weeks ago? Kent Bushman began his sermon. It was a quiet week in the church above the lake on the hill. It was a quiet week. My boys have been gone this week quite a bit, and the men are gone to Camp Fowler, and how grateful I am for the silence in my house. The men are gone to Camp Fowler. We're the wives that all signed them up to go to Camp Fowler. Silence. Did you see the silent children? My word in the lexicon of Kathleen Norris that we are using for our Lenten series, my word is silence. I told Pastor Craig I was choosing that because I knew he was gone today, and I thought if I chose silence, I wouldn't have to preach. And he said, no, it didn't work like that. How do we preach on silence when we love a God who speaks and there is a world? There is creation, there is action, there is life. God said, let there be light, and there was light. In the Hebrew world, to say something is to do something. Word and action are joined. To say something is to do something. But God's first language is silence. Thus said the 16th century mystic, St. John of the Cross. Many faiths have long held silence in high appreciation as part of how we relate to God and how God comes to us. From the Chinese scriptures, those who know do not talk. Those who talk do not know. Why preach on silence? When we are made in the image of a God who speaks and there is action, there is creation, there is life itself? Because before creation, there certainly was God. And there certainly was a God in silence. Silence is not the absence of God. Silence enhances contemplation. Silence balances and counters chaos. Those are ancient words written for a contemporary time. Is this the only place, the only time that you have silence during the week? 3 things to explore about silence. In silence, I can hear myself. Silence is a gift I can give to others. In silence, I can hear God. Silence is the language of the heart. In silence, I contact my deeper self. That's one of the reasons we get pretty uncomfortable when we get silent, because most of us don't want to go too far inside ourselves. But in a chance to reflect, we have a chance to give thanks. In silence, we have a chance to change. We have a chance to grow. How can I know whether I've moved from A to B or whether I'm completely stuck unless I go into silence and have a chance to reflect, to think, to not just react to everything that's going on around me? And in silence, I also can create. Making silence liberates imagination. What I did with the children is what Kathleen Norris loves to do when she substitutes in elementary school. She goes into the classroom and lets the kids just make all kinds of noise. She raises her hand, and there is silence. Then she asks them to write about silence. Many times, their words are deeper than what most of the adults would say. She speaks of this in her book, Amazing Grace. What interests me most about my experiment is the way in which making silence liberated the imagination of so many children. One boy came up with an image of strength as being as slow and silent as a tree. Another one wrote that silence is me sleeping, waiting to wake up. Silence is a tree spreading its branches to the sun. Silence reminds me to take my soul with me wherever I go. Two pages on silence in Amazing Grace by Kathleen Norris, who preaches in Grand Rapids in a Reformed church this morning. She's the theologian in residence at Central Reformed Church yesterday and today. Dear friends are hearing Kathleen Norris preach. It's not on silence, I checked. When was the last time you went into your creative sense? That house that is inside of you that has rooms. There are physical parts of us and emotional parts of us. And there is a silent room. We need to visit our rooms every day in order to air them out. In silence every day. How to Be a Poet by Wendell Berry. Accept what comes from silence. Make the best you can of it. Of the little words that come out of the silence, like prayers prayed back to the one who prays, make a poem that does not disturb the silence from which it came. Accept what comes from silence. When you fly away and you come back into this country, one of the things you notice is how very noisy it is. How very noisy it is to live in this world. It is a gift that we can give to one another to be silent. As Stephen ministers, we learn how not to speak advice, not to respond to what you might say, but to listen in silence that you might hear yourself think, that you might be able to go deeper with your thought. The gift of silence in conversation means you are special, you are important. Now, I love words, and I can carry on the best conversation, you know, of anybody. And words are going to get me in trouble, and that's, I stick my foot in my mouth a lot. And to learn to not respond. In conversation, you'll say something, and I know exactly what I'm going to say 2 minutes before I say it, and you know what you're going to say before I have finished my sentence, and we kind of go back and forth in conversation, you know? Step back, bite your tongue, and listen. And see what kind of gift you can give to your spouse, to your child, to your friend on the other end of the phone. A gift of silence to the other says you are special. Sometimes there are no words. When you or your child or your grandchild has lost part of your life. A relationship is broken, you've been given an awful diagnosis, there's been a serious fire, some kind of accident. There are no words. But that doesn't mean that I don't sit with you. There are no words for life's tragedies, except to say, there are no words, but I am with you. And then be quiet. Don't yammer on. You are special. You are important. So silence is a gift we can give to others. And in silence, we can finally hear God. Learn to commune with things greater than the noise and the cacophony all around us. Is this the only place where you find silence? Do you turn off the TV, the radio, the phone, the iPad? Even early this morning, when I was by myself in quiet, I turned on my iPad, and through some anomaly, there are 168 emails. It's like, what kind of noise is that? Even though there's no sound, do you understand? Psychic noise, psychological noise. The craziness goes on. Sometimes I visit you in the hospital room, and you might mute the TV, but you rarely turn it off. Or I ride with you in the car, and one of us turns the radio on or puts the CD in. Your phone is rarely silenced. Mine too. I'm sorry, I had it on during a consistory meeting, and I'm sorry, someone else was speaking during that time. The noise. We can't hear one another, let alone hear God. A way for us to learn to do this then? Is to turn to the psalmist. Psalm 46, verse 10, contains those wonderful words that can be used as a breath prayer, a breathing in and a breathing out. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. You can break that down then. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. Be still and know that I am God. Do you incorporate minutes of silence into your daily routine? Before eating, before starting the car on the way home, turning off the TV. Before your feet hit the floor in the morning. One of you is praying for 15 minutes every day during Lent. You are being silent for 15 minutes. You are learning a new way to pray. Incorporate 1 minute of silence. Learn how to teach the children that they can silence themselves from the inside, not just because you say, "Would you be quiet?" Hermann Hesse wrote, "Within you there is a stillness and a sanctuary, a holy place, to which you can retreat at any time and be yourself." Silence gives me a chance to explore more fully who I am. Oh, there's a scary thought. Silence gives me a chance to explore more deeply who I fully am. The person that is in relationship with you, the wife, the mother, the housekeeper, the dog owner, the person in relationship, that's only part of who I am. Sometimes it's not the best part. But there's an incredible, incredible, creative, juicy, yeasty person on the inside of each of us. Each of you, each of you, each of you, each of you. And in silence, we begin to remember who was, for me, who was that girl that loved to lie on her stomach on the floor and color and color and color and color and color for a whole day? I used to love to rake leaves into the shape of a house. And I had rooms, and I could walk, I'd make a doorway, I could walk into my rooms, and I'd have the outline of my whole house on my front lawn. I loved to spend a day doing that. Well, that girl is long gone, and yet, she's right inside here. And telling you that, starting to name that, I remember a little bit who that girl was. You have that same person, that creativity, that memory inside of you that silence enhances. You forgot because you haven't been silent enough to remember. Within us, there is a stillness and a sanctuary to which we can retreat at any time and be myself, be yourself. When was the last time that you were intentionally silent? Did it make you crazy? Did you have to kind of fidget all over the place because you couldn't stand it? Or did it help you to breathe? Silence also can be a bad thing. I know that. There are many who are unable to speak because they've been abused. They've lost their voice. They've lost power. They cannot make decisions. This happens with older people. You know, you take your mom to the doctor, And the doctor talks to me. My mother's sitting right there. No. You talk to my mother. She's the patient. My mother hasn't lost her voice, but by virtue of being old and a little bit crooked so her head would look more down than out, the doctor thought she couldn't understand. She couldn't hear. She couldn't make her own decisions. I know that silence is not always a positive thing. Today I wear one of the stoles that Lynn made for me. She made Craig one also. Craig spoke about them last week. They were in a traveling exhibit honoring those who have Alzheimer's as part of the Alzheimer's Quilt Initiative. The exhibit, traveling exhibit, was of long panels of cloth, so this would have been one long panel. When the exhibit was over, Lynn bought three of these panels and formed them into a stole. On the fabric are names of people and where they live. I do not know them. Their names are written on the wrong side of the fabric, on the faded side of the fabric, because as one has Alzheimer's, one fades away. But we remember. My mom had Alzheimer's and she lost her ability to speak. You know, the brain just couldn't make those connections with her mouth and with her thinking. And sometimes we lose our voice and there is an unwanted silence. We remember always people who are not able to speak because of a variety of reasons. But most of you and I are able to choose. We're able to choose to speak or to be in silence. I'll be leading a retreat at Camp Fowler, one of the great places of silence. One of the reasons we love to go to Camp Fowler is we're not interrupted by cell phones or iPads because we don't take those things with us when we go to Camp Fowler. So if a child is speaking to me, I'm not worried about the thing in my pants buzzing because I don't have the thing in my pants anymore. I don't take my iPhone with me or my iPad. And I can watch a child face to face. At night, we have to listen to the stars. We have to listen for the lapping of the waves, for the owl. We watch carefully for the eagle and all kinds of other living things. To be able to choose to be in silence. I will be leading a retreat called Come to the Waters at Fowler. We'll stay in Cairo House from April 29th through May 1st. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to experience silence one evening. We do crafts or a puzzle all in the great room together, but in silence for about 2.5 hours. And it's marvelous to watch another person be creative and in silence. And then to light a candle and break the silence with nighttime prayers. Maybe you need to come to something like that to learn how to be silent. Sometimes silence by ourselves is a bit overwhelming. We try to incorporate silence into worship. When we say the prayer of confession, after we speak out loud, there is always a time for you to consider your own confessions and we move into a time of assurance. There are certain numbers that some of us count to. Some of us like to just take a much longer time than others. Sometimes when I take a long time, someone will say to me, "You know, I was just starting to get to the good part and you interrupted me again." May you each find a way to hear yourself, to be a gift to others, and may you have a chance to listen to God, who loves you so much that he made you in God's image, who loves you so much that when he spoke, you were created. To that God be all praise and glory. Amen. There are other writers who help us in silence, into silence. Gunilla Norris is a spiritual director, and she wrote Inviting Silence. This is a real short, practical book for you to read more about silence. And always, Fred Buechner writes about word and about silence and about God. The books are here. Please look at them. If you need to borrow one, let me know. Today you'll see in our notes about our people. I don't think I can say it looking at her. Kate, our wonderful new youth leader, has been offered a new job at Capel, and she finally starts as a writer, editor at Capel tomorrow. She will still be guiding and leading our youth through the end of May into June. And then we're going to reevaluate and see how we can work this all out while Kate works full-time for Capel and still has an opportunity to serve our youth. Kate, we wish you the best tomorrow. She has to get up and be there at 6:30, and Kate's not a morning person. So our prayers go with you. It's a wonderful opportunity, and it is a big congratulations because it's where Eric works, and it's just a fantastic opportunity. We're grateful that Eleanor Marks continues well at Glendale. Marcia Davis, Phil Davis's wife, had a brief stay at Ellis to have her appendix out. She's more than 65, and she wonders what's going on when one has appendicitis at an older age. And as you know, Pastor Craig and several men from the congregation are on retreat at Fowler. They'll return home this afternoon. And one of our newer members and friends, Grace Hillers, celebrates the life and death of her husband, John. Grace cared for John. They both got, Grace got very ill. They both went into Saratoga Hospital. John was able to be placed at Baptist. Grace went into rehab and has been home for about 2 or 3 weeks. She was finally able to go to Baptist. John saw that she was well, and then John gave up and has been very ill with COPD. It's not like he's just gotten sick, but he has been declining, and we have been able to say goodbye to him over this week. Friday morning, early, he passed away, and there will be a memorial service here on May 10th. We are grateful. This family has come from the Union Presbyterian Church, which closed within the past year. Its membership was invited to come into the First Reformed Church of Schenectady. Many people found their way there, but not everyone. And the Hillers found their way here. And so I have been very grateful to be able to minister to them. Grace has come to Caregivers Group and has known many of you. She's a retired social worker through the Scotia Glenville system, and so many of you have known the Hillers actually for a long time. So we are grateful always to be able to celebrate the life and the death of a loved one. And always in naming all of these situations, we know that there are many other situations going on. Betsy, our prayers go to you and to Joe as you make decisions about Joe's care. There are many other situations that we are praying for as we care for one another and live out the reality of being God's people in this place. This morning's prayer does not name specifically the people of Ukraine and Russia, but we pray for our brothers and sisters voting on the secession of Crimea. We pray for those who are families and friends and lovers of the Malaysian flight, which was lost. What a confusing story. There will be prayers named and prayers which you have in your heart. This is a prayer that was passed on to me. It was attributed to Sir Francis Drake. Sir Francis Drake, the great explorer, back in the 1570s, wrote our morning's prayer. May you find a word for you. Let us pray. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too well pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, when we arrived safely because we sailed too close to shore. Disturb us, Lord, when with the abundance of things we possess, we've lost our thirst for the waters of life. Having fallen in love with life, some of us have ceased to dream of eternity. And in our efforts to build a new earth, we have allowed our vision of the new heaven to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare and risk more boldly, to venture on wider seas where storms will show your mastery, where losing sight of land, we shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push into the future in strength, in courage, hope, and love. So be with us, dear God, as we find silent times in the week ahead, as we give one another the gift of silent space, as we find you in a quiet place. Be with those who need you in a special way. We give thanks and we pray our concerns. In the name of Christ, who promised to be with us always and who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm across your face. May the rain fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may the good God hold you soft in his hands and in his arms. And God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, be with us all. Amen.